Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast. Where, as always, you can head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight with Cynthia Garrett, but first off, let me go to Rob. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here tonight. Excited about our guest, Cynthia Garrett, with Cynthia Garrett Ministries. We've spoken with Cynthia before, and she is a powerhouse. She brings so much knowledge to us, and coming from a faith base place in her life. And I think that right now, in these uncertain times, we all need a little faith and we all need prayer. Unfortunately, there is a large swath of people that when you mention faith or prayer, it's like kryptonite or garlic or a cross to a vampire. They don't want to hear it and they will try and shut you down. But what I found interesting is that when you speak of any religion other than Christianity, they will embrace it and they'll thumbs up. But the moment it has to do with Christianity, they don't like it. They poo-poo on it. They'll talk about it. They'll talk against it. And I just don't understand it, considering America was founded on Christian values. Why the hate? Why the vitriol? It escapes me. You look the other day when President Biden was having the National Prayer Day, and he decided not to use the word God. Who was he praying to? Why even have a prayer if you can't say God? And in every religion, there's a God. There's a deity in every religion. You might not believe my God, but there is a God. But he's playing to a base, and he's supposed to be a staunch Catholic. I don't question his faith, but I do question his motive. And in 2021, never would I ever thought that we would be here. As a child, I remember hearing when I was in Sunday school that one day, or the day would come, and they would try to take away the Bibles. And people laughed about it and said, that would never happen. Well, you look now. You don't need your Bible because you have your iPad. You have your phone. They can very easily change things around. So that day is upon us, albeit you have the text and electronics, but you don't have that paper book. So everything that we were told and warned about, it's happening. And if you snooze, you lose. And we have to be reminded and we have to wake up because things are changing around us so rapidly. So without further ado, I want to bring on Cynthia Garrett. So how are you tonight, Cynthia?
Rob, I'm great. You know, I'm great. And I'm great. And I'm sad. And I'm stirred up to stir other people up, because I think we're living in this time where people need to actually get stirred up about what's happening. They need to be shaken out of any malaise or laziness about this country, about Judeo-Christian values, the values that this country was built on, and about fakes and frauds and phonies. Because I have to tell you, I think you're kind to say you don't, you know, you're not going to question President Biden's faith. But I do. And I question not just his faith. I question anyone's faith who tells me that they're a Christian. Or I was raised a Catholic. Catholics are staunchly against abortion. You are not considered a good Catholic if you say out of one side of your mouth you're a Catholic, but you support abortion out of the other side of your mouth. That's called a hypocrite. You can't, you know, Satan and God don't live in the same temple. It's impossible. Faith and fear don't exist in the same temple. You know, it's just impossible. One human being cannot be an oxymoron. And when you are, you do not believe what you say you believe. You know, you negate your belief system. So I do question his faith, because you cannot pray and call yourself a Christian and not pray to God in Jesus' name. Doesn't happen. It's not about judging anybody else. It's not about saying that other people don't have their way, but it is about being who you say that you are. You know, either you stand for something or you stand for nothing. you know, and when you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. I stand for something. I don't fall for anything. I don't fall for people who lie about their belief systems, any belief system, but especially Christianity, because it's the one I subscribe to. And the world doesn't need any more phony Christians or unsurrendered Christians or Sunday Christians. The world needs true believers and followers of Christ who walk in love and not judgment and hypocrisy. And to me, Biden is walking in hypocrisy. And there's a lot of judgment coming out of the White House. Interestingly enough, they're judging Christians, as you said. And the very thing that most Christians were always attacked for, being judgmental, is now the very thing that they are under attack, you know, with, is just total judgment. And it's wrong. It's wrong for Christians to judge. It's wrong for non-believers to judge Christians. But, you know, there's judgment and then there's, you know, stating the facts. You know, you shouldn't judge a person to hell or heaven, right? That's in God's hands.
Right.
But we do recognize what facts are. And I know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at it. And I'm looking at hypocritical behavior, you know, and any Christian, whether he's in the White House or working as a janitor in the grocery store down the street, who holds the name of Jesus Christ in unrighteousness, I got a problem with. I had a problem with, because there's a lot of people who need the love and the forgiveness and the saving of Christ, you know, and by Christ. And so people who make a mockery of that faith and that power, I have a problem with.
Right. And it seems as if though they're doing it for political gain, for political purpose. They call his name when they feel that it's going to serve their purpose, when they want to. I look at some of the songs that we sing. They don't want to mention God's name in prayer. But if someone else isn't doing it, it's, well, you know, like Nancy Pelosi, I pray for President Trump. But in the same tongue and in her actions, she's doing something completely different. She's okay with God's name not being mentioned. When they get ready to pray, they will say she, refer to God as a she. And all these other little subtle things that they do and say, yet they want to hold themselves up as being Christians. When I look at it, it's like, it's just lip service. It's hypocritical, because do they really believe? I grew up Pentecostal, and that is very evangelical. It is very staunch. So I say, how can you say you love Christ and you're okay with abortion? How can you say you love Christ and you're constantly out lying, misrepresenting the facts? How can you say any of this? So as I opened up saying, our world, it's definitely slouching toward Gomorrah. We're on a slope downhill, and it's going to take prayer, belief, and faith to get us out of it. So Cynthia, your Cynthia Garrett Ministries, talk to us about that. What is a purpose? What do you hope to achieve?
You know, it's funny, Rob. I always saw ministry as a way to really openly love people with the love of Christ, to share my faith, to share the things that God has done for me in my life, to share the things he's brought me through, the things he's delivered me from. I always wanted to give that to other people and help them, you know, help them have happiness and joy and peace and freedom. And so, you know, I spent many years in secular media, hosting talk shows and working on television. And I was always, you know, the girl that was pretty open and vocal about her faith. And I always had friends who were gay, friends who were rich, who were poor, who were Black, who were white, who were straight. It didn't matter. I wanted to love people with the love of Christ, and I wanted them to meet the very living, active God that I know, who has the power to save, you know, and to deliver. And so I've been an evangelist, you know, in my heart my whole life. And Cynthia Garrett Ministries was born out of my son going to college at the University of Kansas to play basketball for Bill Self. He got radically saved going into freshman year of college. And because He had a million questions about the Bible. My husband and I began mentoring him and teaching him and answering his questions. And I was learning and growing right along with him. You know, I was raised a Catholic, but because of my son, I was introduced to a very living and active God who heals, who speaks, who leads, who guides. And although I had met God that way, I was meeting him again through the eyes of all of these young college kids who were then coming to our home to study the Bible and ask questions. And so it was a beautiful, beautiful time of discovery and growth in my relationship with the Lord. And at a certain point, a lot of people started speaking to me prophetically saying, God's going to take you back to work on television. And I would laugh and I would say, I haven't worked in network television in about 4 or 5 years, and I am just far too deep to be that shallow anymore. and it's really crazy because they would say, you know, in prayer or what have you, no, it's going to be something in which you're going to be able to really share your heart for the Lord now. And long story short, through a series of miraculous and crazy events, I ended up in London, where the man who was running TBN internationally at the time, TBN being the Trinity Broadcasting Network, which is the number one faith and family channel in the world, he asked me if I wanted to do a show on faith. He asked me if I would produce a talk show for them. And I said, I will produce a talk show for you if I can look at issues and take these sort of secular formats of talk shows that I've always done and ask the question, what would Jesus do in everything? Every conversation I want to look at from Jesus's point of view, whether it's makeup or dating or sex or, you know, divorce and marriage and faith and depression and all of it. I wanted to look at it with the lens that I looked through being a lens of faith, because I said to him, the world does not need another talk show. It needs a walk show, something in which I can teach people to walk out their lives with faith. And he said, I believe that you are the very modern answer to a personal prayer that God would send us someone who could speak about faith in a really contemporary way and reach people, especially young people. I am far too real for most situations, but they've given me a home to be real and honest. And I'm not afraid to look at anything and talk about anything and everything, because God sees everything. He's got a point of view about all of it, you know, whether it's politics or depression, you know. And for me, never in my life have I seen politics highlighted to me with such a need to look at it from a spiritual point of view, because at the end of the day, our problem is not Republican or Democrat. It's not, oh, vote for Biden and you get all the things that you didn't like about Trump, or vote for Trump and you get all the things you don't like about Biden. It's not about that. We really have a Jesus problem in our world, and especially in our nation. And I take umbrage to that in our nation, because whether anybody listening wants to admit it or not, we are a nation founded on Judeo-Christian values. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you believe. That is who we are. Go to our Constitution, go to Washington, D.C. and stand in front of the Lincoln Memorial and the you know, and Jefferson and Washington, whether you like them or not. Those are the founding fathers of this nation that people are breaking their arms and dying to come to. This nation that we often take for granted is a nation under God, indivisible, with unity and justice for all. And unity and justice come from Christ. They're cornerstones of the Christian faith. So I take umbrage with the fact that we don't stand proudly, you know, for who we are. I travel all over the world. I have watched other nations escort out illegal immigrants right through the airport and get in line in front of me to kick them out. All over the world, other nations are proud of their nation and they make people come to their countries legally because it's a matter of respect. You know, all over the world, other people love their nation. Yet, for some reason, it's, you know, racist for us to love ours. It's, you know, anti-everybody for us to love ours. No, the enemy is a liar. You know, and the enemy is what's being put on the throne in our nation. And until we pull him down and look at him in the eye and say, get thee behind us, Satan, this is not your country, then we will be overrun by competing ideology and dueling doctrine.
Right. Cynthia, why do you think that we are so, it seems, ashamed or don't like who we are as a nation? When it comes to Christianity, why is it that we're so quick, some are, that is, to attack our religion and they will support other religions?
Yeah, because we have an identity crisis. It's swept across our land like a cancer. People don't know who they are. You know, they don't know who God is. And because they don't know who God is and they don't take the time to get to know the God that created them, they don't know what they were created to be. They don't know how they were created to think. They don't know what they were created to do. So many people ask me all the time, what's my purpose? You know, there are all these self-help books written to help you find your purpose. Well, I'll tell you what your purpose is. You were created to serve and love God. Your creator. And if you want to know about yourself, read the creator's manual for who you are. You know, when you buy a computer or you buy a new iPhone or you buy a new car, you read the owner's manual. You figure out all the cool new things that you can do with your new car or your new iPhone. Yet you don't read the manual that was written as a love letter and an instruction guide for your very life. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Because it seems that we hate ourselves so much that we refuse to look at it. But like you said, there is a manual for us to look to find out this is our purpose. Once you know your purpose, be happy, love it, embrace it. But we're so quick to let others to tell us, no, this is wrong. You have to look another way. And all of this, I mean, when I was a kid, I went to Sunday school. And that shaped who I am today as a person. And I enjoyed that. And I wish that more people had the opportunity to go to Sunday school. Even when I was in regular school, public schools, we had, I think on Wednesdays, a Bible day. And it got to the point, it was on campus, but then they kicked us off campus. They kicked us to a bus. So we'd have to leave the school campus to go to a bus for Bible day. Now they don't even have it. Now they don't even pray at school anymore. I think all of those fundamental things that help society stick together is missing. And that's the reason why we have all of the angst and the vitriol in society today.
Absolutely, Rob. Absolutely. You know, it's like the old songs that we used to sing, they will know we are Christians by our love. You know, well, I get on Christians just as much because do they know us by our love? You know, have we shown the love that we should show in the face of all, such abuse, you know, and manipulation? Well, oftentimes we don't, you know, because it's hard. It's hard to love your neighbor. You know, it's hard to love your enemy. It's even harder to love your enemy, you know, and we have very real enemies of our faith today. We really do. But you know, in the face of that, we've got to begin to, I think, take authority over what I see as a very active demonic and spiritual warfare. You know, we gotta pray. You know, we have to also be a little bit bolder about who we are in Christ. You know, I think that Christians are afraid to just stand up and say, look, I love you, but that's wrong for my life. You go ahead and make that life choice. But I'm going to make this life choice. oh, and by the way, no, you cannot take away my life choice. Now, if you start to, you know, take away my life choice and my right to be the Christian that I am and to worship as I want and live as I want and believe, when I support you living and worshiping as you want and believe, now we're going to have to go to war. We're going to go to war in the spirit, and we may go to war in the flesh, you know, in terms of, you know, a physical action. Because what does war look like? War sometimes looks like lobbyists and, you know, passing laws and standing up for ourselves. You know, we've got to not be afraid to stand up for the values that we embrace. And we've got to really live the values that we embrace. You know, I it's funny, the majority of Americans, right, statistically call themselves Christians. Well, if we as Christians basically decided that we were going to all shut down our iPhones or our Apple computers for 1 week alone, that we were going to take back our money, that we were going to not support Netflix for a month, you know, because we wanted to protest something or make a stand for a right that's being taken away from us, you'd be shocked to see that we would win every time, because we've got buying power. We have power that we don't exercise. And I don't get it. And it's prayer power and actual, you know, abundance power, the abundance of gifts that we've been given, the abundance of money and funding that we have as Christians in this nation is unbelievable. Yet, if we don't start putting our money where our mouth is, who's going to for us?
Right. Cynthia, I want to go back to something you said earlier about getting your son involved in religion when he went to college, and then some of the young people that attended Kansas, you got them involved as well with religion. What advice would you give to parents who maybe have kids that they took to church when they were younger, but now that they're teenagers and getting older, they're getting influenced by some of these bad influences in society and are drifting away from the Bible and God?
Well, first of all, Andrew, it's a great question. And I got to tell you, the first thing that I would say is don't get them involved with religion. That we really tried not to do that. We got them involved with Jesus and the God of the Bible. You know, we got them studying the Word of God. You know, and the Bible says that the Word of God is more active than any two-edged sword. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was written, right? So when you're never going to sound any smarter, I'm never going to sound any more powerful or intelligent than when I'm quoting scripture, right? Because God's pretty smart and scripture's pretty wise. And so we wanted to get them involved with really studying the Bible and meeting the God of the Bible, meeting Jesus in the Bible. And then we wanted to activate them in their faith. Right. So one of the things that we would say to them and parents, you know, hear me on this. Kids watch your walk more than they hear your talk. So my husband and I try to really walk out what it means to be a spiritual mom and dad in a house full of young people. What does it mean to serve? If you want to teach young people to serve, serve them. Role model for them what it means to serve each other and to serve others in love. You know, if you want your kids to love Jesus, what does it look like to love Jesus in your home? For us, it meant if you came in our house, no matter who you were going to get hugged and you were going to get prayed for. If you were sick, you were going to get prayed for. You know, if you had problems, we were going to pray for you. And it didn't mean like saying, oh, I'll pray for you. See you later. It meant, you know what? There's no time like the present. Do you mind if I pray for you? And we grab them, pull them in, hug on them and pray for them. And we began to role model for them what it means to look like a surrendered Christian, right? Because there's a lot of people who say they're Christians, but what does lifestyle Christianity look like? And that's going to change our nation, lifestyle Christianity, where we're loving Jesus, we're talking Jesus, and we're sharing Jesus everywhere we go in our actions. So we're not, our focus isn't judging others and evangelizing them. Our focus is letting them see what has evangelized us. It's not being afraid to share our testimony. You know, when I share boldly that I was sexually abused as a little girl, that I was raped as a teenager, that I survived a horrific and abusive marriage and divorce, and that I'm a cancer survivor. When I share those things, and then I tell you that I could be the poster child for every victim group in America today, yet I choose victory for my life, that's more powerful. Because then people say, why? How? Well, I'll tell you why and how. Jesus. My faith in Christ is the anchor that has gotten me through all those things in my life. It's the place I learned forgiveness. I need the forgiveness of Christ daily in my life because I make mistakes, because I'm not perfect, because I'm a work in progress. We all are until the day that we die. So I will always have to find a way to forgive others because I am forgiven. You know, I got to always be looking for a way to love others. Why? Because the Bible says we love because we were first loved. You know, Jesus loves me. He's forgiven me. So what am I supposed to do? He said it. The law and all the commands is summed up in this one thing. Love one another. Love each other. We live in a nation that doesn't love each other. You know, I mean, the hypocrisy of, you know, in front of a nation saying, I'm going to unify. I'm going to be a president who brings back unity to the division, and then spend the entire time trying to impeach a man who wasn't even president anymore. It's like, come on, look at the fruits of the Spirit. Look at the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, right? We got to be merciful. We don't see these fruits at work today in our leadership at all. We see the opposite at work in our leadership and in our media. It's all, you know, it's all obvious if you begin to look at it all through God's eyes. And that's my prayer every day for the people in this nation, that we'll begin to wake up and start to look at our leaders with godly eyes. What do we see? You know, what fruit do we see in them? You know, not, and I don't mean the fruit that's highlighted by the media, because I watch the media pick out a sentence and twist it into something else. We've watched it now for years, for the last 4 years, right? And I can honestly say that, because I would literally go and actively seek out the full statements or the full speeches that were made by President Trump, because I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't believe that I was seeing this sort of dissecting of statements and of truth into these bite-sized morsels that were twisted into such hate, you know, such hate speech. It's crazy to me.
Right. We are here with Cynthia Garrett of Cynthia Garrett Ministries, and you are listening to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Check out the great articles over at AmericaOutLoud.com. America Out Loud, liberty and justice for all.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back after dark with Rob and Andrew. And our guest tonight is Cynthia Garrett of Cynthia Garrett Ministries. And our first segment just received a powerful message of affirmation, telling us how God loves us. And if there's any doubt of your purpose, read his manual, because it is a love letter to us all. So powerful, so timely, but at the same time, it's elusive for some. Some people still don't get it. And if they do get it, they don't want it. So that brings us to where we are today in our society, with all of the divisiveness coming from the top, going all the way down. At one point, when people entered the White House or any public political position, there was always a give thanks to God, recognizing that it is he who has made us and that he's ahead of our lives. But for some reason, now that isn't even mentioned. Some people are even pushing back on having to be sworn into office using the Bible. How did we get there? Who are we as a people? And as Cynthia mentioned, she's gone to several different countries, and they all take pride in their country. They take pride in their religion. But in America, it's supposed to be that beacon on the hill, that shiny light where everyone wants to come. And people still do want to come. But the current residents, the ones who were born here, it's like they're ashamed. They don't like it. They're constantly finding fault. No one is perfect. The United States certainly isn't perfect, but we're a whole lot better than some countries. And that is the reason why people want to come here. So I was listening the other day to Michelle Obama, and she wasn't saying anything positive about America, a country that has given her so much, a country that allowed she and her husband to live in the White House for 8 years. Yet they leave the White House, in my opinion, as the most polarizing first couple that we've ever had. And the other day, she has the audacity to say that she worries about her daughters when they go out, that someone might see the back of their head and not realize who they are and might profile them. Michelle Obama, whose combined net worth with her husband is $175 million. She's preying on people's fears and concerns, because I doubt seriously that she lays abed at night worrying about her two daughters coming home. But yet still she puts that out there because that's part of the narrative that people want to hear and believe. Cynthia, my question for you, to whom much is given, much is expected. Michelle and Barack Obama were given a lot. Why do you think it seems they're not appreciative and they're on this negative narrative as opposed to being positive influences?
That's a great question, you know, and I'm listening to you and it's disgusting, isn't it? I think that to appreciate America today causes the Democratic Party a lot of fear, because Donald Trump won on a platform of making America great. He was right. Americans want to be great. Most Americans want to love our country. They want someone to look out for us. They want someone to stand up to the globalists who want to sell us to China, who want to get rid of America. And I know that it seems crazy to hear, but the reality is that, you know, the behavior that I've seen from globalists is all about them getting rich and doing what they want to do and causing America to sort of, and Americans to kind of live in this place of put your hands out, get in line and be controlled, because we've never been that, you know, we've never been that. We're a nation of people who rebelled against being taxed without representation, you know, and I might actually go so far as to say that even though we're a nation that forged our own path, there were still only a handful of people who were bold enough to stand up, throw all the tea in the ocean and, you know, create something called the Boston Tea Party and start a revolution, you know. The majority of Americans were sheep who just fell in the line when the leaders actually stood up and took control of what needed to happen, which was a revolution and a revolutionary war. You know, a few courageous Republicans showed the same boldness in standing up for you know, to fight against slavery and starting a civil war.
Right. You mentioned revolution. Do you think we need a revolution, definitely a revival now, to get back on the road that God wants us on?
We need a revival and a revolution. And I do believe that if we don't experience a revival, a revival of the heart, a revival of Christ, we will inevitably experience a revolution. Because the one thing about, I think, most people is that at some point, you know, when you've been duped and deceived, you inevitably have to wake up. I mean, you have to wake up. And so I think that a very dangerous game is being played right now in sort of catering to all of this, you know, division and, you know, trying to keep this whole race narrative and racism thing alive, and to having a, you know, someone like Michelle Obama basically, you know, lie. I mean, she's lying. You know, every parent lays in bed and worries about their kid at night, every parent, black or white, but it's usually they're worrying about them having a car accident or, you know, the usual stupid stuff that can happen, right? Or tragic stuff that can happen, and the usual things that parents worry about. But worrying that her daughters may be profiled because the police may not realize who they are. I mean, just listen to that statement. First of all, the police may not realize who they are. Well, lucky that she has two daughters that are somebody so recognizable that anyone in the entire world would realize who they are. Man, the privilege there is just killing me. It's just exploding off the, you know, off the Richter scale, right?
And they have bodyguards.
Right. Who even gets to say that? Like, if you actually can say that, you should humbly not say it. Be intelligent enough to shut up, right? Because that's not something you say, because the majority of people in this country and on the planet today, they cannot say that. Like, where's the sensitivity here for normal working class people? I don't get it. Where is it? You know, how do you sit in your glass house and say something like that? I don't know. You know, I was raised by a father who, at the height of his wealth, he owned properties, a lot of properties. And I always remember my dad would get up in our house on top of the hill and put on his work clothes, and he would get in a beat up old work van, and he would go to work his properties and collect his rents. And he would come home and he would change clothes and he'd put on his tailor-made suits and his alligator shoes, and then he'd get into his very expensive car, and we would do whatever we were doing as a family. And I asked him one day, "Daddy, why do you dress like the workers when you go to work? And why do you pretend that these aren't your buildings and your properties?" And he would always say to me, "Baby girl, be sensitive about what God has given you. Be sensitive about wealth. Be sensitive to those who don't have, and never flaunt what you have in front of anyone. It's not right, you know?" And so I look at, you know, the flaunting of what a lot of people have and what they say. And they just don't have a sensitivity chip. And when someone's sensitivity chip is broken, I can't listen to them. I mean, you're just crazy to listen to them. She's talking utter nonsense, complete and utter nonsense. And they've been so blessed in this country to be the first Black man and woman to occupy the White House. Why would we not be celebrating this? Why would we not be calling forth vision in young people? You know, the Bible says for lack of vision, the people perish. Why are these leaders calling forth nothing? They're calling forth just pain and destruction. They're not calling forth vision. They're not encouraging growth or celebration or abundance. It's by design. It's got to be by design, because Michelle Obama is too intelligent a woman to not know this. I do realize that godly wisdom is severely lacking in our leaders, but at some point you have to be smart enough to know, you know. And I thought this about President Obama when he was president. We all know that Margaret Sanger said, the best way to sell this abortion agenda to annihilate Black people is to get a preacher man or an affable kind of Black fellow who will basically sell this agenda as if it's his own. Get him to do our bidding. You know, go get a buffoon to sell abortion, you know, because they're too stupid to know that what we're really selling is the wholesale killing of their race, because we're racists, we're bigots, you know? So when Obama stood in front of Planned Parenthood posters and sold us on this destructive, demonic agenda, all I could think was, he's too smart not to know what he's doing. He's too smart. He's too smart not to know what Margaret Sanger was selling. So see, to me, I look at, you know, what they themselves as a couple and what a lot of, you know, Black and white leaders are selling. And you're either dumb or you're really intelligent and you know what you're doing. And I think it's the latter. I think that these people are too smart to know, you know, they know what they're doing. They're choosing wickedness. They're choosing it.
Absolutely. They're choosing it. They're selling it. And that's all you see, because the majority of them that are out there at the front lines, LeBron James, Oprah Winfrey, Maxine Waters, they're all privileged. So when I hear them say, oh, no, we can't because of systemic racism, like, what? How did you get to your position? How are you where you are today? And Maxine Waters, who's been there for almost 30 plus years. But people don't stop and think. When Michelle made her comments, I remember once she said that she was at a soda or an ice cream parlor and some woman jumped in front of her because she didn't know who she was. I'm like, how is that possible? You have the Secret Service. But people never stop to question what she was saying. And then there's so many other things that they're peddling, that they're constantly putting out there because they're preying on the fears of people, and people don't think, wait a minute, does this make sense? It's coming from her, but yet still they buy into it. Go ahead, yeah. Cynthia.
No, you, people are sheep, Rob. I mean, that's honestly, I really think that's it. I really think it's why Jesus constantly said, feed my sheep, take care of my flock. That's why Jesus is the good shepherd, because a good shepherd won't lead the sheep wrong. But see, we're living now, and we're, you know, there's a lot of bad shepherds in control, right? And bad shepherds aren't feeding the sheep. They're lying and deceiving the sheep, and sheep follow. That's what they do. Do you know that sheep will literally follow a shepherd over a cliff?
Right. They will.
Yeah, they will, because they're not, they're, it's funny. They're just not, it's how they're built. They're not intelligent enough to not do that. So I think that you know, for all of you listening, you've got to make a decision tonight whether or not you're going to be a sheep or whether you're going to be a leader. You're going to be a shepherd, and you're going to start leading people the right way, you know? And I do mean the right way, because see, I think that we've got to also stand up for what we believe in the right way, you know? And that means that, you know, we got to go high a lot of the time when they go low, you know, because the Obamas once said that, and man, I see them, I mean, they're so low, it's ridiculous.
Right, they never meant it. They just words that they were uttering.
Yeah, yeah. And I voted for them because of those words, because I thought, oh, they are just, yes, go high when everybody else goes low.
And what's really sad, Cynthia, is that you and I, we're both Black. When he first ran, I didn't vote for him because I thought, I'm not going to vote for him because he's a Black man. Now, when he made it, I was proud. I was happy. But I said, now he has got to really get down and do the work. He's got to do it. The second time he ran, begrudgingly, I voted for him. And I'm like, he's got to show us what he's made of. But then when he got left office, I saw something completely different. And it always stayed in me, in my mind, to whom much is given, much is expected. He was given a lot for 8 years, and he could have done a lot more. And even now, when they came out the other day and attacked Tim Scott, the left attacked him.
Yeah.
Twitter was, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I thought, are you serious? And to this day, Obama is yet to come out and say anything about it. Now, I remember before Maya Angelou died and Clarence Thomas was elected to the Supreme Court and the vitriol that he received. And she said, remember, he's our brother. You may not like his political position, but he's our brother and we should embrace him. Words of wisdom from one of Oprah Winfrey's mentors, her biggest mentor.
Yeah.
But yet and still, when they came out and attacked Tim Scott, the things that they said about him, not only whites, but Black people, as if though they opened the door and said, it's okay, you can say this. We're giving you permission to attack him, our Black brother.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Obama never came out to say, wait a minute. And he, of all people, should have come out. He could have made a difference. He could have taken the stage and said, wait, you don't have to like his politics, but what you're saying now is over and beyond. He has said absolutely nothing. And in my opinion, his silence is complicit.
Oh, it's totally complicit. And, you know, and it's heartbreaking because I have to tell you, I keep waiting for, you know, for leaders to stand up as men, for,
right,
you know, for righteousness to prevail. I keep waiting for, you know, a woman, you know, who's got some platform or power to do the right thing and say the right thing. And the right thing, it denies a political party. You know, Maya Angelou said the right thing. The reality is he's our brother. And, you know, it's something because I voted for Obama the first time around because I believed everything that he said. I believed in his stances and positions on issues, and because he was Black. And boy did I learn the hard way. You don't vote for color. You vote for belief systems, you know. And I started voting my own biblical belief systems, and that's when and why I didn't vote for him the second time. And by now, you know, by this point, I'm just sitting here and I'm going, you know, Black people are about 12 to 13% of this nation. If you don't think that it is systemic racism to keep us divided over race, and that behind all of this, there is a white agenda to keep us fighting each other because some of us are conservatives and some are Black, you're crazy. You're crazy, because together we stand and divided we fall.
True.
And you know, it is so easy to divide Black people. I cannot believe the treatment I have seen by some Black celebrities against other Black celebrities who were pro-Trump or conservative. I can't even believe it. It's to me, I listened to Tim Scott and I thought, here's a courageous, godly man who's sharing his truth, whether you like it or not. You know, I don't like a lot of Michelle Obama's truth or Barack Obama's truth or this one's truth or that one's truth. But if a person is authentic in what they're sharing, I can sense authenticity. We all can. And I think that's very scary to those who choose to be fake and to not share their truth, but to share their agenda as if it's their truth. They're lying, you know, and the truth is always a threat to a lie. Authenticity is always a threat to what's phony and fake. And uniting us is always scary to those who have an agenda to divide us. So, you know, I'll tell you, I'm just surprised. Not one person, you know, has stood up and said, hey, listen, you know, I don't believe what Tim Scott said about this or that, but I do respect and honor him. He's a powerfully intelligent man of God and brother and African American. And I just, yeah, Rob, it's so disappointing. It's so disappointing, you know, but there's no fear of God in our leaders. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. I see zero wisdom in our leaders. And I think our leaders, they show so little wisdom because people are they're so easily manipulated nowadays because people have gotten lazy and they're not doing their homework. You guys, we got to read everything. Don't just take it from CNN that so-and-so said this or did that. Don't just take it from Fox News that so-and-so said this or did that. Go find the manuscripts. Use the internet for something other than getting your Instagram news in a headline. Do the homework. You know, it's important. It's important. It's about your life. It's about your children's life. It's worth it. Like, we're worth it as a nation. We're worth it. And if we are united together, we the people, then the handful of leaders that try to divide we the people, oh, they won't be there very long.
Yeah. 20 years ago, people like Bernie Sanders weren't taken seriously as candidates. Now they are. The Bible says that you should love your neighbor, but so many on the left want to take from their neighbors. What do you think of this socialism agenda the left is pushing and some of these new politicians like AOC and Omar?
Oh gosh, well, they just breed hatred and dissension. When I look at them, I see nothing loving or kind in their spirit at all. I see nothing gentle. I see zero self-control. I see none of the fruits of the spirit in Galatians 5. If you know it, if you don't know it, check it out. You know, the fruits of the spirit versus the fruits of the flesh. And I see a lot of flesh. I see a lot of pride and ego driving these people, especially these young ones, these young leaders. It's really dangerous because you're tempted, and I have many friends who are Democrats and Republicans who are tempted to dismiss them. They laugh them off. Oh, you know, nobody would ever listen to them. They're not, I mean, they're nothing. They're not that smart. They're not that intelligent. They're a moment in time. We can use them to get what we want. But, you know, that's like playing with fire, you know, these kinds of hateful people who say such hateful things about Jews and about Christians and just about everything. It's you know, that cancer spreads, you know, a little bit of yeast makes the whole batch of dough rise, the Bible says. I think I'm all for free speech. You know, I think AOC has to be permitted to utter her vitriol and her nonsense because I want to be permitted to utter my truth, you know?
Right.
And what my opinions are, but I do think that they're dangerous, you know.
Yeah. Another thing that we see happening right now is this push to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and now they're even pushing children to get it. What are your thoughts on this push to get the COVID-19 vaccine? And now they're acting like if you don't get it, you won't be able to fly, you won't be able to attend sporting events, and all this other nonsense.
I will use my law degree and fight with any organization, even though I don't practice law. I would fight with any organization to fight that. That is unconstitutional. It is wrong. You cannot force me to force my child to take a drug that I know nothing about, can't spell. The only thing I know is what you write and tell me. Are you kidding me? This is America. This is a free country. If people don't stand up in the face of that and get mad as hell, like the Howard Beale show, and say, I'm not taking it anymore. If you guys don't know the movie Network from the 70s with Faye Dunaway and William Holden, go watch it, because that's what's going on. We're being fed an agenda, and the media is the big machine in feeding that agenda. No, I think it is absolutely illegal to tell people what they have to do in terms of this vaccine. Absolutely illegal.
And if we're not careful, they'll start with the vaccine and then it will carry over to other aspects of life, limiting our freedom. And when I hear people that are there hooraying and saying, oh, yeah, you shouldn't be able to do this if you haven't done that, I'm like, slow down, because it starts with something as simple as a vaccine. But the next thing you know, they'll say, if you're not wearing a certain color, if you don't look a certain way. And it just goes back to segregation, something that we're trying to move away from. The left is reintroducing it. Now, in our closing, or in our final couple of minutes that we have here, I want to talk about your book, because it's such a powerful title. I Choose Victory, Moving from Victim to Victor. Now, everything that we've been talking about, we could very easily say, I'm a victim. We had a pastor on with us not too long ago, Pastor Hawkins, and he said that his life was impacted by Joe Biden's 1994 crime bill. And when he was talking to us about it, he said, now, despite everything that happened, I don't see myself as a victim. I don't want to be a victim because I lived beyond it. I look at your life, reading your biography, things on the internet about you. I would say she's a victim. But as the title of your book says, I choose victory, moving from victim to victor. That's really powerful. Why do you say that? I know from just reading your book, but share with our listeners why you look at life that way, Cynthia.
Because going through life being angry and, you know, and at what happened to you is just silly. You know, going through life blaming others for what happened to you is just silly. Going through life feeling entitled and owed something because of what was taken from you is just silly. Because the reality is that Jesus said in the Bible, the poor you will have with you always. There will always be a condition that exists on this earth. No matter what anyone promises you or this nation, they will never, ever make everything equal and fair, ever. This is part of the human condition. The only deliverance above it is found in Jesus Christ. So for me, I realized that victimization, things that happen, happen. They happen, right? And I realized that most people don't choose to be victims. I didn't choose to be sexually abused as a child. People don't choose to be poor. They don't choose to be born black or white or brown or red. But what they don't know how to do is choose victory. And so I wrote this book because I wanted people to learn the lessons that I've learned through my struggles, through my faith, and through my own looking at the one simple truth that only I could choose victory for myself every day. Every day, it's a daily choice. Every day, because anger, blame, hatred, entitlement, all of that stuff will destroy your life and steal your joy. It'll steal your calling. It'll steal your life. It'll cause you to project failure onto everything that you do. It'll cause you to walk into a room and people won't like you because you're carrying around so much negative energy. You know, oh, they're not going to like me. They're not going to hire me because I'm black. Oh, they're not going to talk to me, or he's not going to like me because I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. At some point, life is no longer to blame. And so what are you going to do? You know, for me, I decided, look, you better just get to the end of yourself so that God can begin. And that's when I realized that my greatest choice for victory was found in choosing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because He holds your hand and He gives you the perspective and the lessons and the knowledge to choose victory, to rise above your circumstances and to not be a victim, to not live as a victim. And you know what? To not teach your children how to be victims and how to live and think as victims, to not show them how to walk around in fear and anger and hatred and entitlement and expectation. Choosing victory is a choice for hope. And everything else is a choice to walk in hopelessness. And what I saw when I saw young people burning down our country was hopelessness run rampant. And the far left wants this same generation of young people to embrace hopelessness. No, no, there's hope. Every day you wake up, there's hope for a better life. It's your choice to make. Choose victory.
There is hope. And thank you so much to our guest tonight, Cynthia Garrett. If you'd like to follow up on what she is up to, head on over to her website, cynthiagarrett.org. And thank you for joining us tonight on another episode of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. Remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.